Years ago, the man named Darwin made quite an impression by talking about the ascent of man. And what he had to say was that man ascended from apes, and even before that, from a one-celled amoeba out in the water, and it finally crawled ashore. Somehow went through the ape stage, and then finally man came along. And he called that the ascent of man. Tonight I want to turn that around. I want to talk about man's downward descent from God, because that's exactly what has happened. As we understand that evolution is not true, as we understand that so many things that have changed the world, in fact, so many people have been convinced that they're just an animal, that they live like animals. It's made a big impression on the world. And many in the world live like animals, and they don't have any morals because they've been taught they're just an animal with hair. And when you think about that, you recognize the cause of a lot of our problems in the world today. But God looked at that differently. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve in the garden, and he endowed them with all the faculties of human beings that they had then and today. And man had the right of choice. And that right of choice has been a heavy burden even for us, because we don't always make the right choices. And as we think about these things, we recognize that the condition of righteousness with which God created Adam and Eve soon was not there anymore. The devil interceded and tempted them by lies. God said, "The day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in that day you'll die." And Satan said, "You shall not die." He just added one word, but it changed the human race forever. We have the effects of that going on even tonight, as we recognize that we are in a world that has fallen away from God. We've descended away from God. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, as you look first of all at the book of Romans, man's departure from God. If you look at Romans, beginning with verse 18, you'll notice, I've said this before, but I believe that at the time that Paul talked about the human race and God giving them up is the time when he called Abraham. And that's another subject we'll look at in just a moment. But he said, beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thought, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women changed the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error which was due. And even as they not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting." So this talks about the fall of man. How man was created in righteousness and he had a fellowship with God and things were just so wonderful. We don't know how long that remained that way. God had intended that Adam and Eve live forever. They had access to the tree of life and they would not have ever had to die. When they ate of the tree of life, knowledge of good and evil, they began to die righteously because they turned away from God. spiritually, and they died physically as they were kept out of the garden and away from the tree of life. It's changed this world so much. The first act of creation after God cast them out of the garden was to make thorns and thistles, and I believe that's representative of nature gone awry. The reason we have storms and problems like that in nature is because nature is not what it once was, as it was in the time of the Garden of Eden. So as you look at that, you recognize that man suppressed God's truth, verses 18 through 20, and man begins to neglect God. But worse than that, they make graven images. Paul talked to Timothy about doctrines of demons, and I believe this is where all these came from, the idea of idols. Because when the devil would create an idol in someone's mind, that would draw people away from God. And so men got further and further away from God. And they did not honor him as God, but began to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And he was not grateful to God for what he had. And so all these are steps away from God, the descent from the holiness and the righteousness that they obtained as they were created. And God intended us to be in fellowship with him, but that fellowship was broken. And so finally, man just rejects God. And you see this in the book of Romans very clearly, as man turned away from God and no longer wanted to have fellowship with him. God gives up on man. This is the depth of which man can go. Man is capable of wonderful things. We have the capacity to understand and praise God and glorify God and live a righteous life. We have a capacity to worship God and to understand God and have fellowship with God. But at the same time, this terrible thing called free will also has us as an opportunity to do wickedness and turn away from God. And that's what's been happening with regard to man as he left the Garden of Eden. And through the years, then he became so wicked that God gave up on man. But man just didn't stop there. He turned to uncleanness. I remember way back, the first time I ever preached on Romans 1, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to talk about the descent into sin that mankind took, and womankind as well. And the fact that they were so licentious and wicked in their choices about those things, to degrading things. And of course, it's still taking place today. We're reminded of Sodom and Gomorrah and what was brought upon them because of that. Finally, he said, to a debased mind. One version says the reprobate mind. And the idea of the debased mind, somebody might commit a sin and feel ashamed of it, and they wish they hadn't done that. Someone else might do more than one thing that's wrong and then try to hide it through shame. But the debased mind doesn't care if anyone knows it. They proudly do that. And I think of the various homosexual parades that have been gone, have been taken in the last few years. I read of one where the men were completely naked. And mothers were encouraged to take their children there so they could see men as they are. And no consequences in their mind about that. And this uncleanness and this debased mind is so much abroad in America today. It's been that way in Europe for a long time and in Germany. But now that America's given up its roots and given up the things that made it great in the past to a debased mind. And all of that is simply such that man has descended from God rather than be with God. When you look at this, God gave us a new beginning. He loved us. I don't think he loved us because we were so adorable, but he loved us because he made us. We're his creatures. He made us in his own image. And when you look at this, God recognized the time to make a new beginning with man. Start all over again. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6, we'll look at some of these things as you recognize that in this, God is giving us a new beginning, an opportunity of doing what's right. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5 and 8, he said, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. That's a sad state. When God is sorry, He regrets, He repents from having made mankind. Peter referred to this over in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he was talking about how God was saving the world. And the point that is being made here is that the world was cleansed by water. People think that the boat, the ark, was what saved Noah. But they went into the ark and the world was the same outside the ark as it was before they went into the ark. Only the flood cleansed the sinful world. When Noah came out of the ark, the world was clean and fresh again. Man had a new beginning all over again. Peter talked about that, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 18, when he talked about Christ suffering once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit, in whom He also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. And so Peter recognized it wasn't the ark that saved the people, it was the water that saved the people, because the water cleansed the world of that sinful mankind and started all afresh anew. And then we recognize that he makes the analogy to baptism. That when baptism is practiced, that water, not just the water, but the blood of Christ, but it's through baptism that our sins are washed away. And in many ways, I'm getting ahead of myself, but with baptism, it's a new beginning too. The old man of sin is crucified and the new man is created. And the Bible talks about that and how the old man is put to death, the new man is born anew. John chapter 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus, and Romans chapter 6. When we're baptized, we're raised to walk in newness of life. So that's an opportunity we have today. But here with Noah, there was this new beginning. And then there was a new beginning with Abraham. As I mentioned from my studies, I think that the book of Romans is talking about the time when God gave over the Gentiles and picked Abraham. That seems to fit to my mind. And you go back to Genesis chapter 12, and then you have the fact that God started over with Abraham, because again, the world was in sin and in idolatry. And in Genesis chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. You, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. And so that was another beginning. It was the beginning of Abraham, when Abraham's seed was chosen, that eventually the Christ would come through that of Abraham. And he gave up again on the world. Just like he gave up in the days of Noah, he gave up again on the old world and committed them to sin and destruction because of their attitude in sin, and chose Abraham's seed, and all the others that we now call the Gentiles were given over to that reprobate mind again. And you see that in Romans chapter 1. And so as you recognize that God has been concerned, and Peter talked about the long-suffering of God, how that the long-suffering of God created an opportunity for us to repent and come back to God. And so Noah's experience was an exercise of patience. God was not going to destroy all the human flesh, but give us another opportunity. The same thing now with Abraham. God is going to give us another opportunity to turn back to Him. And what has happened is that people ignore that. We've descended into sin of every kind here in America. And America is one of those now that has very little shame, very little regret for sins. And now then we have the final opportunity in Christ. Again, everything's going to be new. And Jesus said He would make all things new. And in John 8 and 24 and John 14 and verse 6, He affirmed in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me. In John 8 and verse 24, He said, be sure I've got chapter 8. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. So here's a new beginning. Another opportunity. Another time when the patience of God is exercised. And we need to recognize that this is something that is not going to continue. Peter talked about the fact that one of these days, all the scoffers that have scoffed about the second coming, that they're going to be judged. Jesus warns, as He did with the destruction of Jerusalem, He talks about the end of the world, Matthew 23 and 24 and 25. And as you look at that, He's saying that the time will come when we're going to be judged. The patience of God will be over. I heard something yesterday from a couple that was at the funeral. I'd only heard it one time before in my life. They knew a couple that was living in adultery. And I knew a couple down in South Texas that was living in adultery. And I talked to them about that, and he had talked with this other couple that he was telling me about. And in both cases, they said, well, we're going to live a good life and fall on the mercy of God at the judgment day. And you just can't understand how people don't really grasp the idea of judgment. Judgment is not going to be the time of grace and mercy. Now is the time of grace and mercy and the patience of God. And the patience of God leads us to repentance, knowing that there's a judgment that's coming. But I felt so bad. This was the one that I knew was a really faithful couple in the church. And yet they knew they were living in adultery. And they said, we'll just fall on the mercy of God. And I know that they don't understand what's going to happen at the judgment day. Time of mercy is gone. Time of judgment is not the time of grace. The time of judgment is when all things are brought out in the open and all things are made open. We have to deal with God in those things. And so far as I can tell, there's not going to be any other opportunities. This is the last age of the earth. There was the age of the Garden of Eden. There was the age of the patriarchs. There was the age of the law of Moses. And now we live in the last days. We're told clearly these are the last days under the will of Christ. There'll never be another age. This is it. It's now or nothing. And please, if there's something in your life that stands between you and God, please get rid of it. Because you don't want to wait to the judgment day and expect for grace to be there. And so what we're looking at now is we're making a choice. It's this or nothing, now or never, heaven or hell. And that's what we need to understand is going to happen to us. And so this is something that's not difficult to understand. It's not hard to recognize that God in His mercy and grace has been so willing to provide us with opportunities. And Peter told us that this long suffering of God is waiting for us to turn and repent and be the kind of people God would have us to be. So I'll make an appeal. This is something that you must do in your own mind, your own heart. It's to recognize that today is the day of salvation and we have these opportunities. And God is allowing us now this time to make our lives right, to get right with God and to be all that we can be. And in this age, it is now or never. So if you have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's an opportunity for heaven. Hope and pray that you'll take advantage of that. If you're a Christian and you haven't lived right, come forward tonight. We'll pray with you and for you that all the sins will be removed. And wonderfully, God forgives. And we'll be able to do that. We extend to you the invitation as we stand together and sing. We invite you forward.